Hello and welcome to our latest edition of West Coast XC. I am your host, Ken Martinez. You know the drill. If you're watching this on YouTube, please subscribe. We really could use the subscribers. We're trying to get some momentum here, which we are doing. We're getting some momentum. I appreciate all the people subscribing on YouTube, but there's a subscribe button and click on it. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, there's a follow button. All those are free to you, but it helps us out quite a bit. Today, we're going to be talking with Coach Chuck Bruns. I met him during the cross country season, and he was telling me about this book that he's writing. And I went, I think that might be an interesting episode to talk to him about his book on the Jesuit Marauders of Carmichael, California. Carmichael is a suburb of Sacramento. And about Walt Lang, who is this legendary coach. You know, I think if you're going to put, I did a Mount Rushmore of athletes from each of the state. Coach Lang for sure is on the California Mount Rushmore. He might be on the national Mount Rushmore of high school cross country coaches. He's been at Jesuit for over 50 years and has had some outstanding teams and outstanding athletes, which Chuck will talk about, and he'll talk about the process of writing the book and getting it published. So I need to stop talking, and so we can hear from Chuck. So let's talk to Chuck about the Jesuit Marauders. Hey, we're happy to have Coach Chuck Bruns on. Hey, Chuck.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Yeah, back in October, I was like going from one race to the next at the Clovis Invitational, and you went up to me and complimented me on this YouTube channel, which I was thrilled. I wasn't sure who was here, but you were there, you're watching, and you said some really nice things. And then you mentioned that you were writing a book on the Jesuit boys of Carmichael, California. It was a very brief conversation, but intriguing. And I thought, ooh, I'd love to have you on and talk about it. So you're writing a book, and you spent a year shadowing the Jesuit boys of Carmichael, California, the Marauders, that's near Sacramento. Very successful program, which you'll probably tell us some more about. And so my question to you is how did you become acquainted with the Jesuit cross-country program and with the legendary coach, Walt Lang?
Well, thank you. I appreciate that question, and I appreciate being here. And, you know, sometimes I feel like there's higher powers in play, you know, like the puppeteers have the purse strings. And I'm just, if I stop and listen sometimes and catch the right wave, then I can do the right next right thing. And the next right thing here was to coach at St. Francis. This is my fourth season. And I was hired just as a high jump coach. I had an opportunity to interview and was encouraged to apply to be a jumps coach at St. Francis. And I said, I think I'd just like to focus on the high jump. And that was approved. And I went through some interviews. And at the very end of an interview, I was asked a little bit with some trepidation, Coach Bruns, the final question, if you get this job with St. Francis coaching the high jump, would you be okay with coaching Jesuits as well? Because we share the track and the two programs are different. And I said, yeah, sure, I guess so. You know, and of course, there was lots of sarcasm there because I was doing secret backflips of thinking, wow, yeah, a chance to coach a Jesuit, you know, one of the great track and field programs around. So that's where it began. And lo and behold, the high jump is where Walt will stand often catching splits. And I don't know, he's a very congenial, you know, a fun person to talk to. I've known him since high school. I was running in an era where I would see the back from very far of Pedro Reyes and some of his contemporaries. And it was a great time to run because, you know, Walt was just building that program. And and I watched Pedro do well at the state. He finished second, and then it looked like he was going to win Golden West. He didn't, but it was an amazing race, and a lot of the people in the book were in the stands watching that race. And then lo and behold, I ended up coaching. It's one of my great passions, and I coached at Woodland High for 25 years, and I think that's where I had the most interactions with Walt, because at one point he wanted to come out and GPS a course that I created, and Bill Gregg and I hosted the Yolo County Championships for almost a dozen years.
Well, let
And
me
Walt
not
wanted to.
stop you, Coach, for a second,
Yeah.
because I live in Portland, but my brother lives in Sacramento, and he got married in Woodland, California. That's about a little north of the Sacramento airport and not too far from Davis High School. So you and Coach Greg at Davis put on a meet together out in. Now, the kids watching it love the fact that you were in Yolo County. You
Yeah,
only
oh
live
yeah,
once.
YOLO.
But
You only live
anyway, so
once.
I just want to give some background for our audience members not familiar with the Sacramento area. So you were in the Sacramento area, and you interacted with Jesuit quite a bit.
Yes. Well, it came out and GPSed the course and ranked it as a pretty hilly course, which people were always shocked by, because Woodland tends to be really flat, but there's some geologics going on, and you can grow great wine grapes. And now it's an olive farm, and it was a family. Mike, probably the best runner ever coached, 10:53, which was pretty good. She won the Sacramento Meet of Champions with that time. The Laura Muller of Woodland. That's where she would run, over the vineyards. And of course there's wide pathways that are great for cross-country training. So we got great turnouts, and Jesuit would come, and other top runners and teams. And so that's we spent a lot of time communicating there, and he invited me to do a small invitational with just like nine teams. And Walt had sent out invites inviting like the Blue Devils of Davis and the Wolves of Woodland, and he found about four or five or six other mascots, and we ran out the old granite quarry that isn't runnable, I guess, these days in Sacramento. And so we had good interactions, and I'd see him at I would go to clinics, and he would be speaking at clinics, like with Pat Tyson one time. And I get learn things from him, like how to get splits. And so I knew him, and we had some good respect. And suddenly I was coaching the high jump, adjacent to one of the best distance coaches around. And it just afforded a lot of time for us to chit chat. And suddenly the stories were pouring in. And that was the spring of 23. Last year, the fall of 24, a runner on the Jesuit team that was in the top five, Matthew Ogilvie, was contributing to a team that won the state meet fastest time in 2024. And then they went up to NXN and did quite well. And I realized it was kind of ironic, or there was, again, the purse string people pulling the cords, like, oh man, I coached Matthew's father at the little tiny Delta High School. He was a twin with Philip Ogilvie, with David Ogilvie, and they were both scholarship athletes at Fresno State and UC Davis. And Philip's oldest son was running about 4:18 as a freshman at Jesuit High School, and there he was running at NXN, and he had a good race at NXN, and he threw his arms up at the finish, and I was comfortably watching it in my house, and not in rainy Portland of 2024. And I just thought, man, there is such a story here, because I was getting to know over those 2 years of coaching some of the backstories at Jesuit. And I just thought, man, why isn't someone? And so I asked Walt, a week or two later, at the end of December, the start of January of 2025, I said, Walt, who's done a story on you, or who's doing it? And he goes, well, I had an offer once, and they were going to take in some other big league coaches, and they wanted to combine us. And he was kind of alluding to Joe Newton or Pat Tyson, and he turned it down. And he said, well, do you want me to take a shot? And he said, yeah. And we said, let me think about it. And he read some of my writing that I'd thrown up on the internet. I'm a retired English teacher now,
Okay, I
and
was going to ask you about that. What's your experience with writing? So you are, like me, an English teacher. I'm also an English teacher.
there you go.
And is this, and so you offered to write a book. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever written a book before?
I started several, and
Okay,
I've
so you've
never
got some
finished.
experience.
It's a horror. Well, and it takes, it's like distance running. I'm a, I was a distance runner in high school and in college, and I think, I don't think the some of the plan intent of the story is to reveal to the public, and not just a bunch of nerdy runner fans. I wanted to have a wider audience where people get to capture the, what happens out on those trails, especially when, top boys are running, 6:30 to 6:45 pace on an easy day, or 7 minute pace, and yet they're having, convos. They're having, and they comment on those convos on Strava.
So, Chris, let me ask you this question. So, you get an okay from Coach Lang to do a book, and you choose to not do a book necessarily on Coach Lang, but you're going to shadow the team in the calendar year of 2025 because the boys' team were returning most of their varsity. So, it's going to be a very exciting year. What made you decide that, hey, I'm going to shadow this team for a year and do that focus instead?
Well, yeah, that was my proposal. I said, well, this is going to be your best team ever. And we're comparing with maybe the mid-90s that had Stember and people that were winning the state meets in a 3 year period in a row. The team won 94, 95, 96, I think. I'd have to check my notes. But that's a very great collection of years there. And Scott Abbott is one of the premier running authorities, maybe in the Sacramento area, an amazing announcer, father to Isaac Abbott, who is
Yes, that's my last
perhaps
name. Yes.
number one runner on the team. And I was proposing the idea on the premise that this is the greatest team ever, and we want to see it through. So when they won the state meet and they climbed up on the all-time list, I thought it's coming together. And you look at the body of their work. They beat Harriman back at Clovis, and that was a big showdown. But Harriman had beat Jesuit, maybe 3 weeks earlier at Woodbridge. And so we had the opportunity to reveal this, through my shadowing, but it wasn't. I had a full-time commitment with the St. Francis Troubadours, which I take great pride in, just being one of the many assistants that help an amazing head coach in Chad Worthen. And that team finished second in the state, and
They
so
did.
I was having to sprint around and try and cheer them on while knowing I wanted to, I could, the Jesuit ran first this year. And I was able to see them kind of, not getting in the way of anybody. Then it was an exhausting day for me. I'm not as fit as I used to be.
So you're like the St. Francis assistant coach, and you're also kind of like keeping your eye, your left eye on the Jesuit team too. And did you go to their, how were you able to go to their Jesuits practices because you were committed to St. Francis, or does because they share the track during track season, it's easy to do, but in cross country there might be a separate locations. And my other question, my second question is this, did you go to as many meets as you could based on the fact that St. Francis was there at the same time? So how did you coordinate your year watching Jesuit while you're coaching at St. Francis?
That's a delightful question, because at a couple of points, I said, if I'm going to be completely integrity focused on the pursuit of capturing this Jesuit experience, I would like to, one, be maybe even more fit and running with the runners, like the 46-year-old assistant coach, Tom, who runs with the boys on most, even if they're running thousands at goal pace, he's 30 or 40 meters back, but he completes the workout. And that sure couldn't be me at, in my 60s here. But, I could get on the bike and, be out there more. But fortunately, Jesuit works out at 6:30 in the morning, starting in June, and the St. Francis team has been working out in the afternoons. It was a mild summer, which meant a mild fall. So we have been at St. Francis incorporating some morning runs, and but very few by comparison. And so I was able to. I live in Woodland, and I drive all the way to Sacramento, and I go catch a 6:30 morning practice, and then I drive back home and do whatever I need to do, and then I go back in the afternoon and jog with the team. I'm in the back of the pack, waving back, but or I'm on my bike, and then helping coach Chad whatever from whatever perspective he needs. And then it worked out well that way until about October, when the Jesuits began working out at 3:30. But lo and behold, I discovered a couple of years ago the value in Strava. And so if you maintain a daily following of a team, when the coach Lang says, make sure you post in Strava the details, you know, don't post multiple times your warm up, your workout, and your cool down. Post once, but include the details, especially the splits, you know. So there's, you know, just rich data and how the boys are running. And, you know, I took a lot of pride in being a cross country coach for, you know, decades. And so, you know, I can see the nuances of what those 1,000 repeats were looking like, you know, from the perspective of like, oh, someone's having kind of an off day today, you know, or someone was having a great day, but they didn't finish the last one, you know. And those are just little, you know, coaching points, or, you know, hints at, you know, what's evolving in that particular week.
So,
So
Coach,
I
let me
didn't,
ask you this.
yeah.
Let me tell you a story. You might like this story. I do this thing where I go to summer practices and check out my week. On Tuesday, a year ago, not last summer, but 2024, Tuesday, I go to Jesuit High School in Portland, Oregon, and co I watch Coach Rothenberger, who's been there since like 1983. That's a long time for coaching. And I tell him on Tuesday, hey, guess what? On Thursday, 2 days from now, I will be on the American River with Coach Lang. And Tom said to me, hey, Coach Lang, he's pretty up on the technology. He really uses Strava. You know, he told me that story about how the kids are on Strava, and I thought that was pretty cool. So I got to, in 3 days, I got to be with two coaches that have like 90 years of head coaching experience combined at the same name of schools at Jesuit. And so let me f ask a follow-up question about going to like meets. Since St. Francis and Sacramento are in the same section, you probably just would see them all the time, right? At meets because St. Francis was there.
That was kind of the answer to your previous question. Yes, we had almost you know, completely complementary schedules. In fact, Jesuit this year, for the first time ever, I believe ever, attended Woodbridge. And so there was Jesuit at Woodbridge, which was a team, a race that you know, gets a lot of attention. And St. Francis, in my third year of coaching with them, was there again. And you know, they had a great, St. Francis had a great day. And Jesuit was there racing, you know, the winner Harriman, and Spencer Jackson, who is, you know, arguably not very arguably, you know, he's the best distance runner in America, and you know, he broke the course record and ran quite well. And we, you know, the Jesuit runners ran really well at Woodbridge, but you know, they were slightly disappointed because they expected to beat Harriman, and they walked away with second place with their
But they
heads
were
kind of
missing
down, you know.
Connor, right? Connor wasn't eligible to run it, right? So that I knew,
Correct, correct.
like when they finished second, I thought, well, you know, we don't really see the actual complete team, and hopefully, and I don't know the eligibility rules in California, but I was thinking, I bet he's going to be there at Clovis, which will change things a bit.
And it did. You know, Connor was the number one runner at Clovis and had a great race. And you know, the Clovis was a good litmus test to see the comparison of you know, early October racing, and then compare it down the road when they all showed up for the state meet, you know, with all that intensity and stress. And there was quite a few PRs, and some of the boys that didn't have a PR, they were still very close within, you know, maybe their Clovis time, which was, you know, a great race for people's like Connor, for example.
So what kind of surprises did you encounter during your year watching Jesuit? What are some things that you thought, wow, I didn't know that? Or, you know, you've been watching them for most of your adult life, you know, Jesuit. Coach Lang's been there since like 1971 or something like that. So you've been watching them from afar. You got a little closer glimpse. What are some nice little surprises you got this year?
Oh, well, there's about four or five, and I'll list quickly all of them, hopefully, here. Coach Lang, for one, is the surprise. I knew he was a successful coach, but I've grown to know him as a friend, as a treasure, a person you learn more about, and the more you learn, you want to have more, but you can't. You can't scratch beyond the surface sometimes with Coach Lang because he's of a different generation. He's a different kind of man in a very good way. He's a great example to the boys. He has a value system, an integrity system that it turns the other cheek. He's taught at a school that had seven or eight priests on the campus when he began. And there's a struggle to keep one on the campus, I think now, but there's still a push from the people that lead the campus to maintain a certain morality and integrity, and that gets through to the boys, they evolve into very decent men, and that's been one of the joys. And then just the stories along the way, the book has several complexities to it, maybe, or views. It's a view of the GOAT team, and the boys have been shared in my little weekly broadcasts on Instagram and Facebook, and I hope to include a couple other places. But my Thursday teaser, the boys have fictitious names right now, and so we've lawyered up a little bit and looked at what all the legalities are of publishing a book, hope for August or September of 2026. That might be ambitious, but that's the plan, so that the book comes out before next cross country season. And so learning about the boys is definitely a huge part of the book's program or plan, but it goes deeper than that, much deeper. So getting the stories on the souls of the people that have come through this program since the 1970s, learning about Walt when he was a coach at St. Barons, and I ran into a photographer whose father was coached by Lang at St. Barons, and then the St. Barons grandfather, his granddaughter is being taught this year by Coach Lang's granddaughter. It's just a small world, so the little small world, 6 degrees of separation, Kevin Bacon moments, just exude here, and a surprising number of tragedies. Why do we do this? Why do we go out and suffer? That's one of the prevailing questions of the theme or thesis, the why, the why, the why. And I've bounced off Clifton West, who is in the book, and he was here in Sacramento in 1968, winning the state meet mile. And Clifton's brother, baby brother or younger brother, is a fairly famous speaker as a Harvard PhD professor that gets on good all sorts of television shows to talk about maybe race relations or just context of American culture in sometimes trying times or through the nuances of American politics. So Clifton's very aware of that, and yet, he was enjoying the thesis that I ran by him, and I think he edited it up a little bit. But the focus is what's happening out there when you're running that hard pace day in, day out. There's no magic in the sport. There's the application of good coaching that helps the runners tend to the daily needs.
Coach, it sounds like you're going to do a year of 2025, but you also maybe will pull the history of Jesuit too with the Masterler brothers and the Michael Sember and Matt Strangio. So you're going to be pulling in, give us some background knowledge of some of the amazing athletes that Coach Lang has coached through the years.
I'm having chats, direct phone conversations, lots of email and texts with all four of the names you just mentioned. And those are names that maybe anybody in this sport would know. But the fun and exciting, really the meat and potatoes, is getting deeper than that. So those four names, who would be called Coach Lang's dream team,
Mm-hmm.
if you from 1970, the fall of when he started coaching with Clyde Lehman. Clyde Lehman was around for 18 years at Jesuit, and he helped get Walt Lang onto campus, even though he was the cross country coach. And he willingly said, "Walt, you take over. You be the head coach. I'll be your backup." And the boys who were coached by Clyde in those years, couldn't stop bragging about him. And he's still up in Nevada City, where he went and was one of the more successful coaches that
Yes.
Nevada Union. He would
Yes,
send
I remember
multiple.
that. That was like around the late 90s. Harrier Magazine would have their top 25, and Nevada Union was a very strong team. And that, so he coached that team. That's interesting. I'm going to give you a little my connection to the Jesuit. So I went to Simi Valley High School, and in the mid-80s, after I was at Fresno State, my teammates were
Double
very,
dose.
very, very good. They were very good, okay? And they ran in the large division 4A. So that means in the southern section, I mean, we don't want to brag here, but in the southern section, that's a heavily populated area. So when if you're in the large division, you think you're the best team in the state because there was no state meet. But my coach was like telling me about Jesuit, because not just was there the Masteler boys, you had a third runner too that was very good. You probably know his name.
Actually, I talk to him almost every day.
Yeah,
That
okay.
would be Paul Thomas.
Paul
So,
Thomas, right. So those are the three boys. So I'm at Fresno State. This is the fall of 85. Is Simi Valley the best team in the state, or is it Jesuit? That's the question my coach was asking me. He wanted to know. He wanted to know this, but how do you know this without a state meet? And who knows if that would have ever been found out, because it could be in different divisions. But I went to Rockland Community College, where the 49ers used to have their summer practices, and we had
Sierra College.
Sierra College in Rockland. Thank you. And I ran at Fresno State, and there was a high school race. And I saw all three of those boys in person, and they looked really good. And I told my coach, I don't know if you're, I don't want to, he was kind of a man's man, a generation, right? And so I don't think he liked what I told him. I said, I think maybe this Marauder team might be the best team of 85. I just saw three boys destroy the field in Sacramento. They were very impressive. So that's my connection to Jesuit. That's when I first realized that there was this Jesuit school that was really, really good. And I was like, wow. So that is cool. Did you get to do all four of your five? Did I interrupt your other things you learned?
No, we were going in a good path. It's funny, Paul Thomas, the next year, in 1987, the Masteliers and Paul and their 400 meter runner set the national record in the DMR, and that was a glorious moment. The photograph, Walt Lang doesn't, I think, enjoy having his mug on the picture with the four boys as national record holders, but it's a iconic photo, especially if you've been a Northern California distance coach or runner. They actually the boys all ran at UC Davis, where I was at the end of my career and as a college student, 5 year plan, and I was sitting in the stands watching Mark and Eric and Paul do their magic and all go to the state meet in 86. But in 87, Paul came back with the Masteliers off at Stanford, and Paul had plans. He had done quite well at Arcadia, and he was hoping to win the mile, 2 mile, which is a pretty legendary flip. It doesn't
Right,
happen
it's hard to do.
very often, and he was second in the mile and came back and won the 3200. It wasn't the 2 mile then, and the irony is that in 1970, Walt had a runner running for him for a couple of years. He became one of the greatest cross-country runners in the history of America, really. He was a nationally renowned cross-country runner. And interestingly enough, because Walt builds relationships with people based in integrity, this gentleman came back after going to De La Salle and winning the state meet in 1978 in the mile, in the 2 mile. His own son, he wanted his own son to attend Jesuit high school and maybe even run for Walt. And he did indeed, his son. And he attended a Jesuit and went to the state meet. And now he's a very respected surgeon in the medical world. And so, unlike his father, who pursued, ambitions of what was professional running before there was such thing.
You mentioned, you're talking about Rich Campbell, correct?
Kimball.
Kimball, thank you.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I was kind of trying to be elusive there,
Oh,
just
okay,
because
sorry.
I no, not at all. I wanted you to say his name.
Okay.
That's so
Kimball,
awesome.
Kimball. Yeah, he would spend 2 years at Jesuit and then 2 years at De La Salle. I know that because I had Albert Kawana on and I asked him to make his Mount Rushmore or Mount Whitney, and I believe Rich made
Oh, I
it.
like that.
Yeah. And I
Yeah.
also, I'm a student of California. When I was I started running in 1979 as a freshman, I just absorbed all the California greats, and his name, of course, came up many times. So.
Yeah. Cover of Runner's Worlds and, other periodicals that bragged about, I don't know. A couple of years later, there was a Jim O'Neill and a Tom O'Neill running again 70s, and they were a father son that got into Sports Illustrated because they had the best ever father son marathon times. There was a flurry of marathoners out of Jesuit in that 70s era. And Walt was himself a decent runner. He was a good runner in the area. He was an 800 meter runner in high school and in college, and somehow he drifted into, doing well at the Pepsi 20, no longer called that, but it was the biggest race in the area, and he was getting to know the local running aficionados, the people that created the Pepsi 20 and some of the other runs in the area back, long before running took off and was a boom thing. And his runners don't go off and run marathons anymore, which shows, he's always evolving. He's
Right.
always got the newest HD runners. Showed up at the Jesuit campus this year to do a feature on arguably the best team in California and maybe one of the better teams in the nation. And Walt is just enamored with what HD Runners does, and you
Yeah,
get
they're pretty
you,
amazing. I saw that this summer.
right.
So,
And he does
Coach.
his own. He gets his assistant coaches and parents out
Oh,
on the
good.
course, and they go out and they get like the section meet had three or four cameras maybe going. And so when I'm coaching with the St. Francis Troubadours and I'm missing a Jesuit race, I can watch it on Walt's own HD Jesuit High School creation of
Wow.
a video. It takes him
Yeah.
3 4 hours to
Yeah, that's what
get it all together, and it's amazing.
Coach Rothenberger mentioned that he's really on top of the technology. So, Coach, I have a couple more questions for you. So you document the boys this year in 2025 because they were returning so many great athletes. Look like they're going to be one of the top teams in the country. In fact, they showed it during the fall. Harriman is a team that always of Utah always is in the seems to be in the top three the last 3 or 4 years, and they had a close race at Woodbridge, beat him at Clovis. But they go to Portland, Jesuit does, and has a disappointing day. Maybe not exactly the ending of the book that you thought it would be. How do you frame the ending of, I mean, I guess we'll find out when the book comes out, but how does that work, the ending of the season?
That was actually the best thing that could happen in terms
Okay.
of the book being having some legs of its own, some readable merits. I'm looking at my bookshelf, Born to Run. There we go. I have, I don't know, 50 running books. And
Right.
at one point I was doing research. Maybe I should include all of these. In fact, Walt, I think I want to write kind of like a Running with the Buffaloes kind of book, but I don't want to like to steal and borrow from, what was a great, book. And so we've kind of discovered a theme and or a thesis along the way. This is everything is based in truth here. But tragedy, is an undercurrent of life and how we deal with tragedy, you know. And tragedy for these boys, men, you know, there are three seniors graduating in this team. All three seniors are attending major colleges to run. We have a Cal Poly promise. We have a UCLA promise, one of the greatest track schools in the nation. The stadium is named Drake Stadium. Drake was Dewey Drake, Ducky Drake, sorry, Ducky Drake of UCLA fame from the 50s. And the gentleman that is heading to Drake is, or to UCLA, is Drake. Drake's going there. You know, Kyle's going to SLO. And Mr. Abbott, who I don't know, you know, his fictional name was Ike, you know, because I was thinking of fictional names, and some of them were stolen from one of their Better Combos, debating what was the best Cars movie. And you know, on the easier days when they're running 6:30 pace and they're running 10 miles and they're like, you know, really heated in battle, and they get back on Strava and it becomes a Facebook or Insta kind of place where they're debating on and on, and then other runners from other schools are getting on there and saying, no, Cars One is the best. And Isaac is with his wit and his humor and his he's got an old soul. Ike is heading to Duke, and he's heading there for some of the obvious. It's a, you know, just a, an amazing sports program, and that's what he wants to get involved in and rager in. And he's going to probably, you know, be in a place that we all would envy if we wanted to be get into sports management or sports promotion and production. And so there's happiness, excitement for the three seniors, but sometimes there's tragedy, like when your girlfriend breaks up with you, and maybe it's the night before one of your best races, and it can be devastating. You know, we all know that. You know, we go through life, and there's trauma. You know, there's divorce. There are maybe not in this boys' team, but in the history of Jesuit, there are numerous family dichotomies or evidence or shares with me. You know, may or may not be printed in the book of a family abuse, of alcoholism, of horrible crimes committed within the family, and yet the boys persevere. The boys from the 70s, you know, they're all in their 70s now, or approaching their 70s. They're not all in their 70s, but they're a fun group, and they stay connected because one of their peers, a mile record holder, had died, and they all attended his celebration of life of a couple of years ago, and they reconnected, and they have a strong connect now. And last year, or during the pandemic, you know, I went to UC Davis, and Jill Strangio, with her maiden name, was a fantastic runner in the era of UC Davis women going to nationals. Great crop of young ladies in the mid 80s, and I was poking around in a run in my, you know, times I wouldn't get under 4 minutes in the 1500. And that group showed up at a funeral. The ladies did. I was seated in the chapel at the Jesuit campus by a kind young man that looked at me and said, oh, here's an older guy. He needs to sit. And the chapel was crowded. And they sat me down, and everyone squeezed over a little bit. And it was the celebration of life for Matt Strangio's father. Matt Strangio's father died while he was racing at the indoor nationals. And so the young man, Strangio, who suffered the inability to maybe be that person that was going to win, you know, I don't know if his plan, I can't remember if I asked him, and I put it in my notes, but it seemed obvious if he wins the 1600 one year and he wins the 3200 another year, senior year, he's going to flip the double, you know, and not many people have done that. I talked to Doug Soles. He has an 800, 1600 champion from California when he was down, you know, coaching in Great Oak. I've enjoyed some conversations with Mr. Soles and learned a lot. And, you know, that the loose double, Matt Strangio never even had the opportunity because the pandemic. And then his father dies towards the end of his college career. 3 weeks later, Matt runs the race of his life
He
at
does.
Stanford.
I was there, Stanford,
You were there. You
and I
saw the
got kind of
crowd. There were
emotional because
tears.
he found his mom and his family in the front row there, and he gave them a huge hug, and it was like, he goes to the University of Portland, so I'm in Portland, and he's
Yes.
like, maybe one of my first, when I first did this, he might, you only have 50 followers, you know who's liking your photos, and he was one of my first followers, big fan of Matt, super fan of Matt. And then I went to a Brooks last weekend, and he is one of the ambassadors because he just signed a
Yes.
contract with Brooks.
Right.
So you are, so this ending, which is not like you run with the Buffaloes. They have this incredible tragedy that's kind of the apex of the book, but they
Right.
win the NCAA championship. And you think of like the McFarlane movie and they all the toughness they went through, but they win the state meet in 87, the first one, right?
Yeah.
And so this book would just logically have them go to the podium on NXN, be in the top three, and it doesn't work out. But you find that it works within the theme of the book that you're working on right now, that hey, this doesn't always work out the way you want to, and how do you react to it? I used to tell my kids when I coached at Alloa, I said, you know what we're doing for you guys right now? And it's not necessarily me, but the sport of cross country is we're creating a crisis for you. And then you've
Yes.
got to figure out how do you deal with this crisis? Because what we're doing here in cross country is really nothing compared to what it's out there when in this big world, it's so much harder. And you're going to have another set of crises. And what, how do you deal with it? And we're going to teach you when you're 15 or 16. And how are you going to do that? What do you do when you have a crisis? And so I'm excited about your book. That's a great idea, a tragedy, and the difficulty of, I mean, running is hard. It was really hard for me to recruit kids to come out for cross country because they're like, okay, so I pay a fee to be in a lot of pain. And it sounds
Yeah,
kind of
yeah.
boring. It sounds kind of boring. I'm just running. I go, yeah, you're just running. But once you get into it, you sort of celebrate the everything that goes with it. And so now the season's over. You're going to edit. You just mentioned this earlier in our recording. You're editing the book and you're hoping for an August, hopefully early September publish date. So
I believe in the power of prayer. I'm praying a lot. Yeah, I mean, there's women in the book. I sat in that row and I looked over at Sue Williams, one of the great coaches of UC Davis lore. And I did a teaser on Shannon Fairs, who's up climbing mountains, challenging mountains with famous climbers, and running all the time, despite some of the challenges she's faced, but all the victories that she's had, and Kimmy Keaton, right out, can I bring a little Woodland High School? Can I insert some salt and pepper of, my own 25 years? And yes, Kimmy Keaton, who ran my era, was sitting in the stands of Pedro Reyes, cheering him on when he was almost going to win the Golden West Invitational. But she was too shy, and she didn't ask Pedro to the prom, but she yearned to do that, and it came out in our interviews, and I think I was allowed to share that in our writing. I hope I was. And so you got the Wolk sisters running this year at Davis. Two sisters. Judge Wolk, he is a local celebrity. His parents were big people in Davis, and he's just a good guy. I worked with him at Rainbow Summer, which was a summer camp for kids, and he was the kid wonder, and I was the older. I'm still teaching, and I can still work this in the summer and play endless hours of Capture the Flag. So, those little stories with the women, two sisters on a team. I want to weave that in there. I don't want to. I'm planning. My outline is constantly evolving and changing.
So I don't know much about publishing. So you need to have a final draft, a like by May or April to be published in August. How's that work?
Well, there's the old, we live in a world where, for a low price, you can get onto Amazon Publishing, and you can publish through Amazon, and they seem to do a pretty good job in my research of, promoting and selling and publishing my first book. But they also have some limitations. Like, I want to sell the book in my local bookstore here in Woodland, and I can't do that in that agreement. So I have to weigh the benefits, and I've been talking to some people that would help connect me to the right places, and following up on all that research. So I'm busy. I'm retired though, so I have time to just to coach the high jump and maybe some hurdles, and stay fit. You know, keep walking. That's one of the messages. You know, keep moving, keep running. You know, keep. That's what Walt does. You know, he works out 2 or 3 times a day, and you know, he's not running the 800 anymore, but he's out there logging his Strava, and I'm liking on his walks. And some days he posts pictures of sports cars, and he had a little secret era in his 40s where he had a nice little soft top Honda two-seater sports car, you know, with a to get through his 40s when he was coaching the Mastaliers and Paul Thomas. And you know, so that's, I don't know, it's a life story. You'll life on life's terms, and cross country will make you better.
It will make you better. So I'm going to have you back on
Oh,
August or
cool.
September, maybe October, whenever the publishing date is. And we're going to promote your book and get this out to all the kids and the coaches and parents that watch us and follow us on Instagram. So we'll come back and see you again when it's published. How's that
I'm
sound?
excited. Thank you. It's been fun meeting you, Ken.
Yeah, and coach, it's been fun meeting you. I'm looking forward to meeting you again because I go to a lot of meets and I see Jesuit quite a few times. So I'll see you in the spring during track season. Good luck getting your book ready. Have a happy new year. And coach, we'll check in with you when your book is published.
Can I steal 10 seconds?
Sure.
Yeah, the recovery from not winning, doing what they did. There are four gentlemen who have run a 404 1600, and some of that's based on conversion, and it's Walt's all-time list, which is just amazing. You go to athletic.net, look at any of the 1600, 3200, the all-time lists are amazing. But there are four people at 404, basically, you know, the hundreds after that, and it's Pedro Reyes is still on that list from 1980. Mastaliers and Strangio, or a Mastaliers, Strangio, and a Stember. Pretty famous names, but there's four people at 404, and this group is more fit than any of those runners probably were in their highlights of their careers. And so, will that list get obliterated? One would like to hope and believe and suspect that we'll see some exciting things at Dublin and at the state meet.
Okay, I'm coming to Dublin, so I hope to see you there. And
Okay.
we will see other meets in the spring. Coach, thanks a lot for taking the time, and we'll look forward to the book later in 2026.
Got a lot of writing to do. Thank you.
You're
Okay.
welcome. Thank you. Well, I want to thank Chuck Bruns for taking the time out to talk to us on this kind of busy time of the year and giving us his explanation of this upcoming book that will be. You'll see more about it in the later part of 2026. His goal is to get it up before the cross-country season happens, which would be really good timing. But even if it comes during cross-country season, that's good timing also. It'll be fun to read his book because the Jesuit team has a long history of excellence that dates back for many, many years. And he actually tells us before even Walt Lang showed up in the early 70s. So I'm looking forward to reading that book. And checking that out when it comes out later on. And I will have them back on when that happens so that you're aware that it's out and available for you to read. And so we'll do that when that happens. We're winding down the year 2025. We'll be celebrating some of the things that happened during cross country and even track season during 2025 on our Instagram account. Look for that. And we're going to continue recording. And then we'll get started up here in the Pacific Northwest. We have indoor meets. I know that in California, Reno has an indoor meet, and a lot of teams, athletes go to Reno for that. It's a new facility. And there's the Winter Championships, an outdoor event that kind of had its start doing it with the indoor event they had in Fresno that no longer happens. And so you guys are busy training and getting ready for track season. That's very exciting. And so continue your good work. We will talk to you next time because you know the West Coast is the best coast. See you next time.